All right.
Hello.
Merry Christmas.
Hey, happy holidays.
It's Christmas.
Well, it's Christmas in 2 days, but mm-hmm. still, this is our Christmas episode.
Yay.
Welcome the back. Topic's not really Christmas related, but...
Not holiday themed topic.
I wonder if it's possible for us to find a topic that like happened on Christmas.
Well, no, because we always... Well, no, there's got to be an event we can talk about that happened on Christmas. Maybe next year.
Certainly. Would you like to fake it and just insert holiday terms as we go along?
Yeah, we can try it out.
You want to force it?
Yeah. Like, okay. This happened on Christmas. Like,
barely.
Yeah, somewhere in December.
Yeah. This merry massacre.
I think I did a Christmas one last year.
You did do a Christmas
yeah, one. Yeah, that one happened on Christmas. That was a Christmas event where someone yelled, what was it? It was someone yelled fire and then like at a ball and everyone fucking ran out and a bunch of people died.
Yeah.
At a Christmas event.
It's not necessarily Christmas themed.
It was on Christmas.
But it's not Christmas themed.
All it needs to be to do Christmas theme is be on Christmas.
No, you could have Christmas any time of year.
Well, yeah, but like that event happened on Christmas.
Just like
that's themed.
It's like I don't know, fight the structure. Like put up a pine tree in August. Like oh, put up a Douglas fir in
it's
May.
Like fucking people in Florida who put lights on a fucking mm-hmm. palm tree. Like
it used to be just poles of aluminium.
What?
Like Christmas trees? Like early Christmas trees were just poles of aluminium. Aluminum? Yeah, very similar to Festivus.
Oh,
that was actually a thing. They just used aluminum rods.
That's stupid.
Yeah, yeah.
That's really dumb. I don't like that at all.
Let's move past it.
I don't like it. You ruined it.
Sorry.
So, okay. So, anxiety, fear mm-hmm. for this one. You gotta come up with one. Maybe I'm just afraid of everything. And I just have all these.
Literally a lightning ball of anxiety all the time. So
okay. So last time I had two. This was my mm-hmm. second one that mm-hmm. I have constant, like a weird constant fear of.
Mm-hmm.
I think it comes from the fact that I had a kidney stone.
Oh, yes.
And it kind of created this fear. I don't remember having this before. But I have this weird fear now of sudden, spontaneous, like, pain happening. Like, without knowing.
Yeah.
Like,
okay.
Like a kidney stone. All of a sudden, it comes out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no signs. It just happens. All of a sudden, it's passing through your fucking, you know, bladder, and it fucking hurts.
Right.
Or, like... You know, you're just sitting there fucking minding your own business and, like, you know, people have, like, their fucking gallbladders burst.
Right.
Or all of a sudden, like...
Your appendix burst
or your appendix burst all of a sudden. Like, I can't... Like, it scares me to fucking death, like, what that pain was. So, like, you're just fucking sitting there, like I'm ringing someone up at work.
Right.
And something inside me explodes. And I'm fuck. Like...
I think the only kind of, like, solace to take in that... Is that if something is really wrong, they always say, like, if you break a bone, you know you break a bone.
Yeah.
You know, if something's really wrong, you'll know it at least that. And
I hope so, but, like, it doesn't sound like from things I've heard, like when those things happen, like,
but if you're happens. If your appendix bursts, you can't just keep walking around. You say, get me to a hospital now.
Yeah, yeah.
Or if you have a kidney stone, you're like, get me to a hospital now.
Yeah.
I think that's the only thing, because... I was getting along with this topic on anxiety when I feel like small pains, my mind starts racing.
Yeah.
So especially,
that's a sign that you can go with.
So especially heart attack symptoms. So like being somebody that gets a heartburn really bad. If I ever have like heartburn and like my arm hurts,
uh-huh.
I think I'm having a fucking heart attack.
Okay.
You know what I mean? But. The only thing to kind of talk myself out of that, and I really need to talk myself out of it in that moment, or take a Xanax, is if it was really bad, it would be, get me to the hospital now, because I'm literally going to die.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But, like, my fear is, like, there's no, like, with a lot of those things, like, there's no warning signs. Like, it just happens.
Oh, they just happen.
Like, when you're, like, if your appendix bursts.
It just bursts.
It just bursts.
Yeah.
Like... Or you feel like excruciating pain before it bursts, like
right.
It just all of a sudden is happening, and I'm like that just scares the shit out of me because I'm like what do those people do in those situations? It's like all of a sudden you're just sitting there minding your own fucking business, and you're just like I'm fucking dying, like
just panic. It's just panic.
It's just fucking pure panic, and I'm just like it freaks me out. Ever since the kidney stone, it just fucking freaks me out.
It's also there's that, and then there's also who's around you at that time.
Yeah.
Are you alone? If you're alone, that's fucking scary.
Yeah.
Like, I'm fucking in my mid-30s, and I thought about getting a life alert bracelet. Because right? because I'm alone a lot.
A lot, yeah.
It's not just because, like, I'm I might, you know, have this. It's because I'm just alone a lot.
Yeah. See, I don't know.
And what if you didn't have the power to pull out? What if you were too weak to pull out your cell phone and call 911?
Yeah.
Or what if you couldn't speak or something? It was something wrong with your brain functions, like a stroke symptom, and you couldn't enunciate where the ambulance needed to go to help you.
Yeah, it's terrifying.
Like, so fucking, I could press a button on my chest. I could press a life alert bracelet. I could probably do that.
I think for me, it's like, it's the pain itself.
Oh, okay.
Like just knowing that at some point, there's like excruciating pain coming.
Right.
And you're just like unprepared for it.
Here we go.
It's like, you know, back like when I broke both my arms years ago.
I remember that.
Like, and I fell off that fucking scooter.
Right.
And I knew it was coming. I knew it was coming. That was a slow motion moment where I was like, these arms are gonna break.
Right, right.
And it's gonna be really bad. But like, what I cannot prepare myself for is like fucking playing video games and something inside me blows up. And I'm just like, oh, it just sucks. Like,
maybe if we, I don't know, maybe the more you think about that happening, the more you can reappropriate it and kind of just like have fun with it.
Maybe.
Like, what if when it happens, like you put your arms up like you're on a roller coaster? It's like, here we go. Like, it's happening.
I mean, that would be fun.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think part of it is too, because the kidney stone that I had came out of nowhere.
Right.
Like, I was literally just minding my own business, fucking, like, playing video games, and I was like, oh, this kind of hurts. Mm-hmm. Something hurts. Like, it hurts more now.
Yeah.
It's getting really bad. Like,
right.
I don't have to poop, which I thought I did at first, and I was like, nope, it's not that. It's definitely not that. But then I found out, like, the kidney stone I had was very small. I'm like, oh my god, what if it was bigger?
Right.
Like,
right.
What the fuck would I have done? Like, and that's, I think it's the pain part that can literally come out of nowhere. Like fucking Jack Nicholson just fucking breaking down the door of my life with a fucking hatchet.
Oh, yeah,
just
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Hello.
Here's Johnny.
Here's pain. Yeah.
Like, all kidney and no stone makes Cody a sad boy.
It's so scary. Like, because it just makes me mad because I'm like, why are these bodies so inefficient?
Yeah.
I think to a rational person, though, would be very much along the lines you were saying. It's the fear of, like, being alone.
Yeah.
Not having anyone to help you. Because, you know, I have a friend in the past who died in that exact same situation. Because he was alone and could not reach out. Not to put a huge damper on this Christmas episode. Yeah. But, like, that's a normal fear.
Mm-hmm.
If it happening to being alone. I'm just like, it hurts. Like,
yeah, I mean, like, there's, like, tons of, like, I mean, like, celebrities that probably could have been, like, revived with, like, Narcan or something like that if somebody was in the hotel room with them when they died.
Yeah.
You know, like, fucking Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yeah.
Or,
Heath,
you know,
Ledger.
Chris Farley.
Yeah.
Like, if somebody was in the room while they were going through that, like, maybe...
Probably could have saved them.
Maybe they could, like, you know, if it's a heroin overdose, you give them Narcan straight away.
Yeah.
And that usually snaps people out of that terrible, terrifying opioid crisis situation.
Yeah.
Like, apparently I heard, like, even if it's, like, got, like, a little bit of that fentanyl stuff in heroin now, it could, like, fucking kill you.
Oh, shit.
Like, so if you're a regular user, like, you could die off
of that. Well, yeah, that's like, any of those drugs, if any non-normal thing is cut into it, like, yeah, it could fucking kill
it'd fuck you.
Like,
so, like, if any of those situations, if somebody was just there to realize you were in a really bad spot, somebody get on the phone and call you.
Yeah.
We have the technology or the modern medicine to turn that situation around.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's I want, like, I was fucking talking to somebody about this recently. I forgot who, but, like, it would almost be, like, a cool, like, Uber service or something like that.
Like, Uber? They're like, called ambulances.
No. Okay. No. This is kind of, like, different.
But, okay.
Like, no, yes, I've heard of those.
Yes.
Great.
They pick you up, they take you there.
Great work.
Yeah. They charge you $2,000.
A little expensive, but great work. I remember when Uber just came out and people are using them for ambulances. Yeah.
And like, take me to the hospital.
These drivers were like cleaning blood off their backseat all day.
It's like, you know, get into the Greek.
Yeah.
Where's the fucking hospital? It's on Rodeo. They're all on fucking Rodeo.
Anyways, so we were saying it would be a cool service, like a mobile nurse service or something like that, for people with anxiety to just come into your house, take your vitals, tell you you're not going to die, and walk out.
TM. TM.
Oh, you should market that?
We're going to market that. Okay, yeah. Like, yeah. A nurse on call,
like,
in a car, just driving around.
Like an Uber for registered nurses, for extra work for them, so they don't have to do an OnlyFans all the time. You've seen that fucking article?
Yes.
To keep them, well, if they don't want to do OnlyFans, which is totally fine, you can do whatever you want.
Show your boobs, or drive around
and
help people.
Or just come to my house, take my vitals, tell me I'm not going to die when I go to sleep tonight, and then get the fuck out. Like... Thank you. Here's a $10 tip every fucking time.
That's a good idea.
Because
$10 tip. Here's $100.
I was talking about it, and I was like, my anxiety literally goes away as soon as somebody comes in the room and tells me I'm fine.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need to take anything.
For all the people out there who need like fucking beer delivered to them, like
right,
like who you know, someone on anxiety would definitely call. To have someone come and tell them they're okay, and they're like, okay, I'm okay. I don't care. Just charge it.
Yeah, just talk me through this fucking panic attack, man. Mm-hmm. Like, get over here in 5 minutes. Talk me through my panic attack. Take my vitals. Check my temp. Check my blood pressure. There. You know, take my... Put the little fingy...
Yeah.
The pulse oxidometer. To check your blood oxygen.
I don't go to the hospital that much.
Yeah. So. Do that, and then be like, hey, listen. For the next 24 hours, until I see you tomorrow night, you're going to be great.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. Nobody fucking steal it.
Yeah, that's a good idea. That's a JTM original.
trademark.
A Justice Time Machine trademark. A JTMTM.
You heard it. A JTMTM. That's a good idea. Yeah, I think my just fucking, like, just stupid brain is just like, I'm afraid of pain. I'm like, don't hurt me. Like,
well, pain sucks.
Yeah, and I'm just like, I don't care if I'm old or not, just don't inflict... unwarranted pain.
Like, I don't deserve
this. I don't deserve this body. Like, I never have anxiety. It's just like, I just don't want pain.
I guess, I mean, but really, like, our body forsakes us more commonly when we forsake it.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
I just, I don't know, like, I have the same amount of disdain for, like, the human body as I do cars. They're so inefficient and I hate them. Like, they're just so bad at their job.
Like, much like a car, I have zero horsepower.
Zero. I have zero. I have a fucking donkey power.
Ass power.
Ass power. Oh, God. Okay. All right. That's my fear.
For this one. That was a good one. Thank
cool.
You.
Yeah. All right. We'll be right back.
Happy holidays to all my elves and elvish people.
Elves and elvingettes.
Elvettes. Welcome to Christmas episode of Justice Time Machine. Ho, ho, ho. Get your hot chocolate with big marshmallows.
Okay. Dude, actually, I fucking hate that. When people give you hot chocolate with big marshmallows, I'm like, dude, it's mini marshmallows.
Mini.
Anyone who puts fucking big marshmallows in their hot chocolate is a fucking savage.
Yeah.
Like, it's a filthy casual.
There's like an episode of The Simpsons or something, or Futurama, or some animated show, where it was like a marshmallow the size of the mug of hot chocolate.
Yeah, yeah.
And they put the entire marshmallow into the mug of hot chocolate and pulled out a solid gelatinous cube.
Yeah.
Or solid
chocolate cube thing. Sucked it all
and
up.
And just took bites out of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Stupid. I don't even like hot chocolate that much. I just, like, wanted to be coffee.
Like, just be coffee already.
Like, just be coffee, and it's not. Like, ugh. Okay, so, today we are going to cover King Edward I of England.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think we've done, like, well, it's our second king of England.
Yeah.
Yeah, second king of England. Not our first king, but second king of England. His dad is Henry III, so we've done Henry VIII.
We've done Henry VIII.
His dad was Henry III. After doing research, I was like, we won't go back and do Henry III because he sounded like kind of a pussy.
But yeah, he left.
I'll call someone a pussy this time. He sounded like a pussy.
Thanks. Thanks for falling on that sword for me.
You're welcome.
But yeah, he really fucked a lot of things up for
Edward. He did. He just didn't command authority, which was kind of a problem. But Edward did. So King Edward also known as Longshanks and the Hammer of the Scots, just fucking badass.
It's a really cool name. Cool name under terrible circumstances.
Yes. But just like that's a band name.
Right, the Hammer of the Scots.
He was King of England from 1272 to 1307. He gets the name Longshanks for being very, very tall. 6'2". Right. Very, like, especially in 1200, like that's really big boy, tall, really tall. Real big. I don't think most of the roofs were that big in like normal houses. Like,
yeah, he probably had a duck a lot,
a lot. If you ever visited peasants, he was ducking a lot. Like, he's also the villain in Braveheart. They don't ever refer to him as Edward a lot in Braveheart, but they refer to him as Longshanks,
right?
Who is Edward the First. And he was portrayed by Patrick McGowan, just an older actor. I tried to look at, like, see if he was in anything else notable, but not really anything.
Sounds good.
He was in Murder, She Wrote. I saw that. I was like, okay.
Kind of really close to Patrick Ewing, too.
A little bit, yeah. Similar names. A little bit, yeah. McGowan. Yeah. He was Irish.
Of similar heights.
Of similar...
Basketball player?
I don't know if
tall person?
Well, I don't know if Patrick McGowan was 6'2", but...
No, but Patrick Ewing is really tall because he's a basketball player. Yes, and he played a really tall person.
As far, I haven't seen Braveheart all the time. I don't think you even see Edward
I don't think at all.
You know, like, you see him, but, like, not a lot, like, not, like, he doesn't take the screen.
Right.
Like, you see him, like, talking.
I think that was, like, that was added in Mel Gibson's contract, I think.
Yes, yeah, you can't show anyone more than me.
Only Blueface, baby.
Only Blueface. I think also for any, like, anime fans out there, in One Piece, the anime One Piece, which is about pirates, one of the, like, the most notable pirates, his name is Longshanks.
Okay.
I think, which is, like, they got from him.
Yeah. It just means long-legged.
It means long-legged, yeah. Your shanks are your shins, your legs, like, that's what it gets from. I just, like, there's other references to him. I wrote down that I literally look a lot like this guy.
I think in shape, but not in face.
Not in face? Okay, so here's what I wrote down.
Okay.
So, he's 6'2". I'm 6'1"-ish. Yeah. So we're both very, very tall. We both had blonde curly hair when we were young, which darkened.
Oh, that's true.
My hair's brown now. His hair was brown in his prime and then turned white. So I'm looking forward to some white hair. That's going to be awesome.
No, okay, you're going to look fantastic.
It looks so good.
Yeah. Regal.
I'm going to be a salty bastard.
A silver fox.
A silver fox. He was very sickly as a child, which I was too.
Okay.
I had scarlet fever twice and chicken pox twice shingles. And I had fevers regularly. But then he grew up to never be sick, which I never am. Except for, like,
kidney stones.
he had a droopy left eyelid, which I get when I'm drunk.
Everybody gets those.
No, more like Forrest Whitaker-y. But
that's pretty extreme.
Yeah. His was constant. I get it when I'm drunk, which I think later in life, I'll probably just have it.
I do a lot of that wink one eye, open one eye.
Winking though. It's just your eyelid doesn't open all the way.
Oh God.
Like you're looking, you're just doing your normal thing and your eyelid's just down.
Okay.
It's that. And then he also, had a lisp, which I don't have so much anymore because I went to therapy for it.
That's right. You did. Yeah.
But I used to have a lisp and he did too, but we were both actually very good speakers.
It's adding up.
I'm a king.
Yeah.
Like, well, I'm just a king. Like,
it's really there. That's a lot of similarities.
It's a lot of similarities with this guy.
Like, right.
Like obviously they didn't have lisp therapy back then.
Yeah, he probably just grew out of it.
Yeah, but he was known for being a very, very good speaker and very persuasive. I would say, like, persuasive. I don't try to convince people to do anything, but I'm a good speaker.
Yeah, you are a good speaker. Like, you're on a podcast.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm talking to you. Like,
so he saw the king's speech and he got his shit together and got rid of the lisp.
That was a stutter, though.
Oh, a stutter. That's right. He had to wear headphones.
And Barbosa was his speech coach.
That's right.
Yes. So yeah, I just thought, I was like, wow. I was like, literally, I was like, I have a lot of similarities with this guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Super weird. A lot in common. Very weird. But anyway, so during his youth, his father, Henry III, pretty much this is like the focus of my like backstory on him. Mm-hmm. His father got a lot of backlash from the barons of England. Mm-hmm. His father like just didn't really ever like treat them right. Like didn't really command a lot of authority. So people didn't respect him. Especially the barons. Mm-hmm. And it's like, if you give them too much fucking, you give them an inch, they're going to take a mile.
You give a mouse a cookie.
Exactly. Like
they want some milk.
I get, yeah. Yeah. That's an expression.
There's a book on
it. There's I've heard that. Not that other one you said about like burning houses down.
You know what? Mark proved me right. So
I didn't hear it.
Suck shit, motherfucker.
I don't listen to any of our recordings, so I never heard it. Like, that's what I was going to say earlier. Mark posted it, his part of it. He's like, oh, I'm going to post it here so Cody can listen to it. I'm like, not going to happen. Sorry, Mark. I think you're doing great. Never heard it. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Mark is doing good.
Oh, I'm sure he is. He's doing great.
Mark, I think it should be mentioned that he's been doing this thing of like bringing us back to reality.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
A lot really, lately. Really,
especially on the last one.
On the last one specifically on Khomeini, I was getting really... if comfortable with the topic, where
we may have been a little offensive here or there.
Yeah, where the things I was saying may have been taken the wrong way, but at the end of his part, kind of put the mirror back on me of where, dude, people really care about this person.
Yeah,
you might ruffle some feathers, and you're ruffling feathers in a very dangerous part of the world.
Yes.
So,
which I mean, we've said before, like it's never our intention.
Mm-hmm.
Like we may laugh, we may joke, but like we mean it in the utmost respect.
Right.
It's just very sometimes like there are certain topics that are hard for us to understand.
Right.
Like coming from a Western viewpoint, which I mentioned in that podcast, like coming from our viewpoint through our lens, like seems very weird to us.
Yeah.
It's never meant as, you know, a slight.
Right.
So we apologize to anyone who may have been offended, but
yeah, it's almost like it's almost like carrying the baton of like human rights and civil rights to the point where you're offering that olive branch to somebody that never wanted it in the first place.
Yeah.
And it's like, we don't speak for people.
Oh, 100%.
I only speak for my own emotions and how I feel in that moment.
No, we're not experts. We don't know everything. Yeah. Like, we're totally okay to be wrong.
Yeah.
Like, and that's exactly your point. Like, Mark is doing a great job at bringing that full circle for us. But I never listened to the recordings, so
yeah.
But I believe it.
You don't have to.
No, I will one day.
You're pretty late, dude.
I will get there.
If you're not a fan of your own podcast now,
I'm a fan.
I don't think you're gonna get into it.
I'm listening to it all right now. I'm saying it.
You're not listening, though.
I'm listening. I always listen to myself.
What'd you just say?
It's like the only person.
What'd you just say?
I always listen to myself.
What about the next thing?
That we apologize.
No. Nothing after that. The thing before.
Well, I don't remember every... I don't have a transcript. Whatever. Fuck you. God damn it. You asshole.
I know. Sorry.
Like, you listen to yourself half the time.
I can't stand my voice.
Okay. That's the other reason I don't listen to it, because I don't want to hear myself.
It's too high.
It's too nasally. So anyway... Henry III kind of just sucked. I'm sure he did some good things. I didn't read about him. But he did cause enough conflict with the barons for the barons to revolt.
Mm-hmm.
And there was two barons' wars. During the first one, Edward, his son, was pretty much against him. Like, he pretty much sympathized with the barons and thought that there should have been reforms and was in open conflict with his father. But... basically, by the time of the second one, him and Henry had reconciled. Edward had come home, or it was in England. Henry had come home from France, and basically they were like ignoring each other. And at one point they reconciled, and during that reconciliation, Edward basically was like, "Okay, Dad, I get it. Like, I'm with you. I'm with you 100%." And so then he went, you know, and was fighting for his father during the Second Barons' War, and basically like literally flipped on all of the people he had, like, as friends, those barons, like, pretty much overnight. It was like, you all suck. I'm the prince. Like, this is what I'm doing. Right. And he actually, he like garnered a pretty big reputation for being kind of two-faced. Like he did that a lot.
Well, he's what's that thing from It's Always Sunny? Like, I'm playing both sides, so I'll always come out on top.
Exactly, yeah. Like, yeah. It wasn't so much that, like, he just had a habit of, like, making treaties and then, like, like going against them.
Okay.
Like, but then he did the right thing where he, like, realized that and then, like, stopped doing it.
I mean,
it.
Maybe
like,
his political ideals were a lot different from his personal ideals.
Yeah.
Like, you know, this, I feel like this in this situation, but it's still my fucking dad and I still got his back.
No, but even after, like, after that whole thing, like, he did that a lot. Right. Where, like, he would, like sow peace treaties and then be like, oh, I'm going to attack this place. I know that's, like, kind of yours. I'm going to attack it. Like,
yeah.
So he did that a lot, but, like, he did eventually come around and kind of, like, rectify it. So... Yeah, like, so during the Second Baron War, or Baron's War, there's, like, multiple S's and that bothers me. Like I said, they had reconciled, he was fighting for his father, and he was a really good commander.
Yeah.
Like, really, really good. He was very smart, like, maybe also because he knew all those guys on the other side, so he kind of knew what they were going to do. Like, so he was very successful in a lot of, battles and campaigns.
So the Baron's War was an inside job?
Kinda. Yeah. Yeah. There was, however, one big one where he made a huge mistake, and it's, I'm pretty sure this is also in the Art of War. This is just something you don't do, and he made a very, very poor mistake, where he chased after a retreating army.
Okay.
And you don't chase a retreating army.
Yeah, you let him go.
It's not even like a moral thing, you don't just let him go, but it's like, when you chase them, you lose your ground.
Oh, okay.
You lose your strategic advantage by chasing them, because then you're following them. They can then gain the advantage, turn around right back at you.
Yeah, but aren't you gaining ground if you're chasing them
you're
back into their territory?
Ground, but you're now out of your comfort area. Like, you don't know the terrain necessarily.
Oh.
You don't have your positions.
Oh, it's Vietnam, baby.
It's Vietnam.
That's
also exactly what happened
in Vietnam.
You're not chasing
yeah.
with your entire army. You have to leave a contingency behind.
Yeah.
So now you're chasing at half force. So he made that mistake. And he chased a retreating army, and by the time he got back, his entire rest of it was defeated.
Right.
And they gave him up.
Right.
They gave him and his cousin up as hostages. So you don't leave your victory.
Right.
Like, and he did that, and it put him in basically as a prisoner of war. Eventually, he was released. He got out. They released him, like, under, like, basically, like, parole.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually he just got away completely. And then...
He, like, got out on bail.
Pretty much. Like, yeah. I didn't read too much. Like, it literally just kind of, like, skimmed over. Like, it was, like, he got out, and he had, like a fucking parole officer, and then he just, like, ran away. Like, and then,
welcome to ye old bail bonds.
Ye old bail bonds. And then, like, the battles kind of, like, kind of ended themselves. Once the second Baron's War was even concluded, like, it wasn't even concluded with, like, the leader of the Barons being killed. Like, he was killed, like, later at some other battle. And there was, like, an art thing about it where it's, like, his body's, like, fucking dismembered, like, all over the field.
Yikes.
Yeah. But Edward would go on to... I'm kind of just, like, skimming because, like, I want to leave time for, like, your stuff. So, like, I didn't, like, go into, like, super detail.
No, we got time.
Every fucking event.
Yeah. We can do whatever the fuck we want, Cody.
Well, no, I wanted to get to the juicy stuff.
Oh, okay.
So, eventually Edward would go join the Ninth Crusade with his cousin, Henry. I think his cousin's name was Henry, too. They were together, like, all the time. So, they went on the Ninth Crusade, but while Edward was on the Crusade... his father died, and that's when he had to return home. So he took a very, very long journey home. It took him a long time to get back, because the Crusades were obviously very far away from England. And then he was coronated after that. So from that point on, historians are really, like, split on Edward's, like, reign of whether or not he was, like, good or bad.
Right.
He has a lot, like, he's the poster image of kingship of the medieval times. Like, he was all about the nobility, and was relentless in his, like, the way he, like, threw his nobility at everyone. Like, he was relentless at it. He's like, I'm the fucking king.
Like a star fucker.
Yeah, I guess.
Like, somebody is like, it's my way or the highway. It's like, I'm the king, therefore this is happening.
Kind of.
And the line in the sand is drawn there.
But he wasn't a tyrant about it all the time. Like, for example, he did issue in a lot of new law reforms. Mm-hmm. He was very, like, open to, like, reforming laws, making everything fair and just. Like, he also made Parliament a permanent thing. Uh-huh. Like, before, Parliament was, like, wishy-washy. Like, sometimes, like, kings care, sometimes they didn't. He made Parliament, like, permanent. So, like, Parliament always had to, like, kings always had to resort to Parliament mm-hmm. after him.
Okay.
So, like that's a big thing. Like, he basically created a check and balances for the noble class.
But, like, when he wanted to. I'm sure he had his king ace up his sleeve at all times. Oh, I'm sure,
yeah. Like, at this point, like, yeah. the royal family was much more powerful than it is now.
Right.
But this is the first they've had a permanent check and balances. Right. That's never happened.
Yeah.
So he had all of that. But, like, he still, like you said, like, still was like, I'm the fucking king. So, like, mm-hmm. if I really want something, I'll fucking do it.
Right.
That's like, but like those things that I just said, like that's where historians are like, okay, yeah, like he made a lot of progressive movements, mm-hmm. but he was also like completely ruthless to his enemies. Like his approach to the Welsh and the Scots mm-hmm. was fucking unreal. Like when there was an uprising in Wales, like he destroyed them. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we already said his fucking name was Hammer of the Scots. Right. Like we already know what he did to him.
So I mean, you put A and B together.
Just ask Mel Gibson.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah. Give him a call.
Yeah. Like yeah. you can't, he was dismembered. He was drawn and quartered. But, and also like on top of that, like, you know, in 1290, he issued the Edict of Expulsion, mm-hmm. Which I'm not even going to say what that is. I'm going to leave that for you. Right. Because, like, I don't care what historians said was good. Mm-hmm. We're just going to focus on the bad.
Yeah.
Because that's what we do. So.
It's just kings.
It's just kings, but.
It's like, you look up any king. Look up any president. Like, they're going to have, like, a blemish. I mean, like, but. They're going
to have presidents to kings.
They're going to have blemishes, though. I'm just saying, like, people in power have blemishes.
Oh, of course.
Like, no matter how.
But we're talking about someone with almost unfathomable
power. But I'm saying.
Power.
Like, no matter how deep the scar is, the scar depends on the context of the other bodies around that scar. So if you have a president that's like doing like a U.S. president that's doing nefarious things, it's going to look bad compared to the rest of the world around you. So these kings were doing bad things that look really bad to us, but compared to the world around them may have just been a blemish or a scar.
Okay, so basically what you're saying is like, it's what I say all the time. You can't always judge people in history off of current moral standards.
Right.
You have to take it into the context of the time.
Right.
That's basically what you're saying.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, like, listen, my next segment's going to, you know, to tread a lot of that info back.
We're going to open the scars up yeah. and get into the gooey.
Look inside. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm just saying, like, anybody in power is likely to abuse it at some point.
Yes.
You know, like, Anthony Weiner showing his dick on Snapchat. That was the worst thing to happen to Anthony Weiner.
Why couldn't you say his wiener? Well, Anthony Weiner showed his wiener.
Well, it's like redundant.
Yeah, but it's funny. Okay.
It's just that was the worst thing happening at that time.
Yeah.
So everybody went down. Like,
he wasn't that powerful.
I was about to say everybody went down on him, but that would have been a poor choice of words.
But also, he's a bad example because he's just like a fucking congressman.
But at that time, it was just like that was the worst thing he did, and he got lambasted for it. Yeah. But like. King Edward slapped his dick all over Scotland.
Yeah.
And that's the worst thing he did.
Yeah.
But plenty of... tons of politicians show their dicks, and tons of kings kill people.
Yeah. It's like when you make a list, and it's like, this person, what's the worst thing they did? All those worst things are at the top of their list. So it's like, oh, those are all number ones. Some of those number ones might be way, way worse. Like,
right.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah. So I get what you're saying.
Okay, good. I don't.
I got us there. All right. Well, that's pretty much all I got. So we're gonna get into your part.
Mm-hmm.
We'll take a quick break, and yeah,
see you later.
See you in a bit. Hey guys, this is Cody and
CJ
from Justice Time Machine. Just doing another shout out for our buddy Eli who did our logo for the podcast. If you guys like what you saw with our logo and are looking for any kind of graphic design or logo work, he's really a reliable source to go to. It's ELIS_trashcan on Instagram. Really cool guy, really quick with his work and very talented. And, you know, he'll work within your budget. He's very understanding and reasonable. So yeah, reach out to him if you guys need any work done. It's definitely worth it, and have a good one.
All right, we're back.
Welcome back.
All right. So, who are we talking about?
Edward.
Edward.
Not colon.
Yeah. I'm not Team Edward.
Right, well, we're so, not Team Edward? Okay.
King Edward I of England, he reigned from November 20th, 1272 to July 7th, 1307, 35 years.
Not bad.
Like you said, his nickname was Edward Longshanks because he was 6'2", very long-legged, also known as the Hammer of Scots. Early monk artistry make him look almost like a reverse vampire. So he got, like, the face of a bat, but none of the charm.
Yeah. So it's very, Strigoi.
Yeah. Yeah,
like,
very.
Yeah, if you, like, a Strigoi is, like, a type of vampire, like, where they lose their nose.
Right.
Like, the artists were not kind to him.
Yeah. Like, somebody took his nose when he was a kid and never gave it back.
Mine? Okay, I was actually, before you could do it, sorry, I was going to throw this in there. I always thought it was really weird. If you go back to, like, those medieval, like, paintings and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's so funny how art, like, has transgressed over time. Like, they were really bad at drawing back really then. Bad. Like, they could not, like, get a face right.
Couldn't do it.
Horses were drawn super badly. They had, like, these fucking stick legs and these fat bodies.
But
like,
then you have marble statues, which are absolutely gorgeous.
From Greek times. They were fucking amazing. And it's like, but you can't draw it?
Yeah.
Like,
where did that artistry not translate? They
all have these, like, dipped in faces, these big old fucking chins and shit. It's like...
yeah.
You guys don't know how to, you know that's not what he looks like.
Maybe
like,
it's because outside of their window, everybody was dying.
Yeah, maybe.
And there was all these wars going on, so they had to draw it faster.
Maybe, yeah. They were like, oh, fuck, nose.
Yeah, every 3 seconds there was an explosion, and their oil just went all over the canvas.
Yeah, I just thought it was so funny. It's like now, like, people, like, fucking teenagers can draw, like, fucking portraits.
Okay.
And, like, these fucking people that were commissioned to draw, like, fucking royal paintings, like, couldn't even draw a fucking horse.
Yeah. They were nervous. Their hands were shaking the whole time.
Yeah, they just thought it, like, that's how they wanted it to look. And I'm like, you guys are dumb.
Yeah.
Like,
he just finishes this god-awful painting.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Perfect.
Oh, you look marvelous, Edward. But then, okay, so, like, later drawings, when actually, like, the art progressed, so, like, postmodern drawings kind of make him look like Nick Offerman a little bit.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah. A little very strong-jawed, mustachioed.
Yeah.
Darker hair, like you said.
Yeah,
like
his droopy hair really eyelid.
Dark. Yeah, droopy eyelid.
Like a white Forrest Whitaker. Like
yeah, like Nick Offerman and Forrest Whitaker had a baby.
Yeah.
Edward.
With a droopy eye.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I don't really know where to land on how this asshole looks, but like whatever. So Daddy Longlegs had a... Daddy Longlegs had a real Latin temper. Apparently his size and demeanor were so intimidating that... the dean of St. Paul went to see him after a meeting over a meeting of high taxation.
Okay.
And he literally died in his presence.
What?
So the dean of St. Paul went to go see him to argue. He was probably like hyping himself up outside of the kingdom doors.
Yeah.
Like, you could do this, St. Paul. You could do that. You could do this, St. Paul. Like, we're going to talk to him. And then once being in his presence, he just keeled over and died.
No way. Mm-hmm. Like right there?
Yeah. Like at his feet.
Fuck.
So, basically, it's kind of like a look of death, maybe. Like, maybe he was just really domineering and intimidating.
Damn.
Like,
I mean, I'm already kind of blown away.
Like a Care Bear stare. Well, a Terror Bear stare.
A Terror Bear.
Like a Mad Usa.
Baba Usa. Like, fuck, dude. That's insane, though. Like, he just, like, he's like, listen here, my lord. I have a bone to pick. I'm dead.
The classic death rattle.
He's so good looking.
Like something, maybe.
Like, Jesus.
But he was also really unpredictable, too. Like, his son, Edward II, he was having a meting, and Edward II was in the room for the meeting. And something was said that just really got his goat, and he started tearing out Edward's hair. He started tearing out his son's hair in clumps.
Whoa.
Over how frustrated he was from how the meeting was progressing.
Holy shit.
So... He was an unpredictable dude.
What a poor boy.
Like, I know.
What the fuck?
His contemporaries described him as a leopard-like feature because he was both powerful and unpredictable.
Dang.
So they compared him to a leopard a lot.
Hmm. Fun fact, actually, about Edward II, because we already said, like, Henry III was kind of, like, wishy-washy, like, not super, like, you know, imposing.
Right.
And the barons kind of, like, took that. Mm-hmm. Edward II... basically just took off after his grandfather.
Oh, and he was much more mild and weak.
Well, and he was gay.
Oh, okay.
And he was he was in love with this other guy, and it like really compromised his rule, and the Baron's like
hopped all over it.
Literally everything that Edward the First like put to rest, like went right back into place.
Tough little tightrope to walk there, huh?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. It'd be too nice to take advantage of you. Be too mean, you're ripping out your
I just listened to a whole podcast about episode about Edward the Second and his like affair and how it like fucking like compromised everything.
Yeah. There is a lot of recordings though, not recordings, not well definitely not audio.
Audio recordings.
There's a lot of video evidence of this.
Yeah.
they said he was really favorable, ideal, respected, admired as king. But honestly, like when I was reading it, the more and more it seemed it was just the people writing that he was favorable were probably just scared shitless
out of fear. Yeah.
It was like I'm saying he's nice so he doesn't tear my hair out.
Yeah.
Or, you know, he doesn't lose his shit on me.
To his kid.
Yeah, like, if he does that to his son, imagine if, you know,
I just like
you're not related to him.
I feel it on my head. Like, this just hurts. Like, yeah. Ow. Like,
yeah.
I pull out a nose hair.
It fucking hurts, I start man. Yeah, you get a little tear in your eye.
Yeah, a little oh, God.
Oof.
Yeah.
Oof. Woof. So, Edward was a really big fan of the stories of King Arthur. Really big fan. So,
mentioned this earlier.
Yeah, a lot of his ideas and the way he kind of ran his government was based on what King Arthur did.
Okay.
Not in the sense of him being tyrannical or mean or, you know, aggressive, but more in the way he held his own court.
So, Arthurian legend is so fucking fascinating.
It's amazing. Yeah,
it's so cool.
So, he actually had a round table.
Oh,
and he had meetings at a round table.
Nice.
He held big tournaments. I don't know if it was jousting.
Jousting's probably
jousting, or maybe just like hand to hand combat.
Well, there's usually different parts of the tournament.
Yeah, held tournaments.
Jousting, sword fighting,
and then like big feasts. You know, like big Sunday roasts.
Big Sunday roasts.
Big English
Sunday
roasts.
Very Game of Thrones-y.
Very medieval, classic.
Jousting, archery.
Yeah.
Robin Hood shit. Like
Maid Marian.
Yeah.
All that stuff.
I
used to have a crush on the fox.
Oh, God, dude, she was so hot.
She was such a babe, right?
I fucking love that Robin Hood movie.
Yeah.
I've been trying to get Brenda to watch it for fucking ever, because it's on Disney Plus.
Right.
And, dude, Maid Marian, the fox, is such a fox.
She's literally a fox.
Dude,
she
is a foxy fox.
Stone Cold Fox.
Yeah. That movie's so good.
It's one of the best, dude.
So good.
Yeah, the way they portray King Richard as the lion.
Yeah.
So funny,
so
dude.
So good.
Where he steals the rings by kissing him and stuff. Great movie. Anyway, so he acted like that a lot in his own courts, and it was very a storybook kind of thing to do.
I have a question.
Yeah. Oh, you could raise your hand.
Okay.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah. Oh, wait, can I call on you?
Yes.
Yeah, Cody. Okay. I have a question from the
guy to the left
from Cody News in front. In front. Yes. Go ahead.
So you said I feel like I'm interjecting a lot, and I'll ease back after this.
Mm-hmm.
You said he was really obsessed with King Arthur.
Mm-hmm.
Was this... Because like, there's a lot of dispute nowadays that whether King Arthur was real or not. Like, it's called Arthurian legend.
Mm-hmm.
To him, was Arthur real? Because this is 1200. Like, was King Arthur a real person to him? Or was he basing it off of the legend of King Arthur?
It's... The way I read... Thank you. Great question, Sir Speaker. I appreciate that. You may sit down.
Thank you.
Great, absolutely great question. Beautiful question. Love the question. Can't wait to answer the question. So anyways, no, I'm just kidding.
Okay.
No, the way I read it was he really liked the story, and it was put in quotations, the stories of King Arthur.
Oh, okay.
So still I think it was a legend.
Gotcha.
To him, not like it was real or happening.
Okay.
But he really liked those ideas.
Gotcha. Okay.
And the article that I read, the word stories was in quotations.
Okay. So the ideals that Arthur stood for.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. He enjoyed that. The storybook.
Okay.
The legend. Yeah, exactly.
Crazy. Even in 1200, it's already a legend. Like,
yeah, I know, right? Yeah.
Weird.
Well, I mean,
yeah,
fun. Great question. Beautiful question. Love the question. Thank you so much. come back for my meeting next week.
Okay.
So Edward's dad, Henry III, which you've talked about, he really fucked things up in the
Barons Wars.
Barons Wars, yeah. Sorry. Royally fucked things up.
Oh, royally.
Mm-hmm.
I got you.
Yeah, okay.
I got you.
Okay. All right, we'll keep going.
I got it before you asked for it.
Like... So among his first acts as king was to reestablish the royal authority.
Yes.
He wanted the crown to be respectable again.
Yes.
So he appointed a new chancellor, Robert Brunel, and then all the lawyers, all the sheriffs, etc.
All the king's men.
All the king's men couldn't put...
Humpty Dumpty Man.
I heard this really interesting thing the other day.
Oh, but Humpty Dumpty was a person.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was it was brain damage. Like, right. He fell and hit his head.
Yeah. But why is it always an egg?
That's the question.
Why is in every story about
the egg? Nothing about the story of Humpty Dumpty says he's an egg.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll be with you.
All right.
Yeah.
So his first thing was he wanted to see what was left of England after his dad. All right. So after his father, Henry III, he performed an inquest of England. So he sent associates across all territories of England to see what was lost and what was gained and what remained. This was documented in So this is documented in what's called the Hundred Rolls. So the Hundred Rolls is basically a census. 100, meaning the administrative branch of the government. Mm-hmm. So the hundreds were the administrative branch. And the rolls were the privileges that they gained by the inquiry.
Okay.
All right. So all of his men went across all of England and just took what they wanted, basically.
Oh, not cool. Okay.
Exactly. Right. So they tried to see what was left of England, what was gained by Wales, what was gained by Scotland.
Ireland,
yeah. All that. But in doing so... ransacked townships all across England and just started taking things as taxation to the king.
Oh, that's bullshit. So they basically just went through like Vikings.
They, they just mugged a bunch of people across England.
Well, fuck that.
Right. Yeah. Fuck that for real. So, like I said, the privileges or the roles.
These are my privileges.
The privileges were taken flagrantly and in extreme ways. And even the royal officers in his own court called the inquest an abuse of power and a malfeasance against the people of England. Mm. Because they were just taking what they wanted.
It's one thing to remember with most royal families is the wealth that they have is taken.
Right.
Like, it's like, when you're like, oh yeah, like the royal family, like they're so wealthy. Well, it's like, where do you think they got it?
Well, they always say that about every museum in England. Like, when are you going to give that shit back, dude?
Yeah.
Like, when are you going to give it back? You took it.
There's actually a huge thing in England right now with this guy. I forget his name. He's the descendant of Kaiser Wilhelm from World War I. And he's in court right now trying to get basically millions of pounds returned to his family. Mm-hmm. But it's held up in court because they're trying to determine whether or not his grandfather helped the Nazi party. Because if his grandfather... Kaiser Wilhelm's son helped the Nazi party come to power, he cannot claim it.
Right.
Because it's the Nazis. But basically, like, the museum is just holding these millions of dollars from this guy and his family. And he's like, it's like, this is bullshit. He's like, my great-great-grandfather was the king of Germany. Like, this is my money. But he's like, well, they're like, yeah, but your grandpa helped Hitler. So, fuck you.
Yeah, what's that? Is that like a wash or something? No.
Yeah, it's like a wash. It's like, no. Like, yeah.
Like, it belongs to who it originally belonged to.
Yeah. So, like, that's what you're saying. Like, where do the museums get all this shit? Like, they're just, like, keeping this from him. Right. Like, if his grandpa helped the Nazis, yeah, fuck that guy. But, like, it came from someone.
Yeah.
Like, it was taken from someone.
Yeah. Maybe that's why, like, OJ was so mad about getting his memorabilia back from that sports store in Vegas.
Oh, maybe.
Anyways. Wilhelm, too. Is that like a Wilhelm scream? Is that the same name?
Where it comes from, the Wilhelm scream.
Yeah. Good band.
Yeah, great band.
Yeah.
Great that's sound in like a lot of movies.
It's that popular movie.
It's like every stormtrooper who falls.
Ah! Yeah. Let's do that one more time. One, two, three. Okay, so the royal officers came back.
Okay.
They got reports of what his men were doing across England.
Look at all the things we took.
They came back with maybe a couple too many souvenirs.
Yeah.
Souvenirs. And they were like, listen, this is fucked up what you're doing to your people.
Yeah.
And Edward basically just went like, yeah, that's why I fucking did it.
Because like, I'm the king.
Because I'm the king. Like, get out of my goddamn face about it. He probably did that thing where, like, you know when you put your arm up and, like, pretend to hit somebody? He's like, oh, you want some of this too?
Like, it's like that that fucking really popular, like, Dumbledore meme where he's like, puts his hands out. He's like, puts them to his hips.
Yeah.
Like,
fucking Dumbledore bitches.
Like, I did it because I could.
Yeah.
Get out my face. I'm Edward. The first. You heard it? The first. Number one.
Yeah.
Get with it. All right. So after his dad lost to Wales in the Barons Wars, and that led to that inquest, and that was 4 years into his reign in 1276. Sorry. 4 years after the inquest in 1276, he got back into it with Wales.
Oh,
my bad. I said that wrong.
Oh, yeah, you gotcha.
So inquest done. His dad lost to Wales. Inquest done. That took about 4 years.
Okay.
Now he's like, all right, I'm going to get back into it with Wales because they fucked my daddy.
Gotcha. You know, they fucked my daddy.
They F'd my D and the B.
Okay.
All right. So it's like they reignited the rivalry, basically.
Okay.
So 7 years were kind of calm. So 7 years later, it was kind of calm. And then Wales started getting like a little too smug.
Okay.
So, they were kind of like flaunting their victory, getting really big for their britches, even though it was a very small territory.
Yes, Wales is very big.
Very small territory. And in particular, Llewellyn Gruffudd, so LLYWELYNGRUFFUD, Llewellyn Gruffudd is the best I could do with that.
You can see it?
Yeah. Well, you can't read my writing, but that's the first name. That's the first name. That's the last name.
Llewellyn. Yeah, Llewellyn Gruffudd. Well, maybe not Ood, because that's not really, like, I don't know. I would say, like, Llewellyn, like, Gruffudd.
Gruffudd?
Yeah, okay. Maybe. I don't know. Gruffudd sounds more Frenchy.
I was thinking it as, like, a southern girl grew vegetables. Llewellyn Gruffudd.
Okay, no.
So a girl from the south was a farmer girl from the south.
Well, what's the big influence of the south?
Lou
French. And that sounds too French.
Llewellyn grew food. Llewellyn grew some food.
Yeah, well.
Okay. All right, so Llewellyn Gruffudd.
I would say Gruffudd.
Gruffudd.
That's me, but.
Llewellyn Gruffudd.
Llewellyn Gruffudd. She's gruffy.
It's a man.
Yeah.
So Llewellyn was the guy who helped push the treaty.
Oh, this is a guy?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why I just said it's a man, Cody.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
I was just comparing him to a sweet southern girl.
Okay, cool.
Just only in pronunciation.
Gotcha.
Not physically.
Gotcha.
So Llewellyn, he was the guy who helped push a treaty after England lost.
Maybe it's Llewellyn.
There's a W. Llewellyn. There's a W.
Yeah, but maybe it's Llewellyn.
Oh, you just fucked a W?
Oh, the W there. That's the W.
Llewellyn.
Llewellyn.
Whatever. Okay.
Yeah.
Can I keep going?
Yeah, go.
Thank you so much. So, Llewellyn.
Llewellyn.
Now.
Yeah.
Was the guy who helped push a treaty after England lost to Wales originally in the Barons Wars.
Okay.
All right. So, he pushed that treaty forward. And he also named himself Prince of Wales at that moment, too, which is treading upon royal territory.
Yes. Yeah, you don't do that.
You don't do that, right? No. So he named himself the Prince of Wales.
Yeah.
And then, on top of that, getting cocky, he planned to marry Eleanor, who was the daughter of the guy who led the army of the Baron forces against his dad.
Oh, Bartol or whatever his name was?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, it was kind of a lot a lot of things stacking up there in Wales that started coming down to Edward, and he was like, "Okay, now you're kind of fucking things up.
You're getting a little big in your britches."
The guy who made the treaty, not only is calling himself the prince now, and now he's gonna marry the daughter of the guy that killed my dad.
Yeah,
oh, not killed his dad, but you like, know, beat his dad in war.
Yeah.
So you know, he's like, basically, .. the Welsh Wars.
The Welsh Wars. Okay, .. ..
Yes, so here we go.
Okay.
All right. So, 1282, Edward wanted English law in Wales, and he also had a score to settle with Llewellyn, whatever you want. So, it wasn't much of a war. Most called it a conquest.
Yeah.
So, it was very personal to Edward.
Yeah.
He wanted the Prince of Wales not to be a prince anymore. He didn't want him to marry the daughter of the guy that beat his dad. And he wanted Wales for himself. He wanted Wales for England. There was a handful of battles, and they started very much in Wales' favor. They won, like, probably the first 3 or 4 out of 6 battles. Not bad, you know, really good track record so far. But then a trap was set in direct order from King Edward to kill Llewellyn alone.
Oh, just kill an assassination.
Kill, an assassination.
Okay.
Of Llewellyn. So they set a trap for him after, like, post a battle, or like post battle site on this bridge. I forgot the name of the bridge. But they led him astray and killed him solo.
Oh.
All right. So after that, after that happened, all the leadership started falling on, you know, unsettled shoulders. Mm. And then England started gaining ground on Wales.
Okay. Yeah. They cut the head off the snake.
So after that, all the Welsh rebellions that started rising up against England were squashed.
Just squashed.
Squashed in its place. So English law was instated in Wales, and Edward started fucking right away, basically. He wanted a son immediately after the Welsh
War. Oh, he literally started fucking.
Yeah, he literally started fucking. Like, so he was like, cool, Welsh War over, I need a son.
Okay.
So he just got straight to work, had a son. 1284, Edward II was born 2 years after the colonization of Wales.
Okay.
So just straight away, like he was like,
that, yeah,
need to pop out this pup.
This pup.
So Ed got his son. Cool. Now on to Scotland. Now we're going to Scotland. So Alexander III of Scotland paid tribute to Edward.
Okay.
On his success over the Welsh in the wars.
Yeah.
So Alexander paid his tribute, but he only paid tribute to the land that Scotland owned inside of England.
Oh. Okay.
So the English property inside of the English territory, or the Scottish property inside of English territory, that's the only land he paid tribute to.
Okay.
And Edward was like, what the fuck?
Well, what did Edward want?
Like, what about England?
What?
Okay. So he celebrated his successes on the grounds gained in Wales.
In Wales. Okay.
But not in any, like, English property.
Oh, so he gave him tribute just based off the new territories.
Based off the new territories and,
what's
like,
wrong with that?
And Scottish, and there was something to do with, like, Scottish-owned property inside of was once owned by England something like that.
Well, that sounds
fair. It's fair, but it still pissed off Edward.
Well, what the fuck?
So he took it personally again. So, just let's clear stuff up, okay? So we have the inquest. So let's call it the inquest Die Hard. We have Wales. We have Die Hard Part 2. And now we have Scotland, Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Okay.
So it's three main acts in his reign, in his 35-year reign. And this is what happened in Scotland.
I feel like we reference Die Hard a lot. And I've never even seen one.
Well, it's a Christmas movie. I did it for Christmas.
I've never seen Die Hard.
Oh, you've never seen Die Hard? We can watch it if you want.
Okay.
I hate when people are like, oh my God.
What?
You have to. How have you not seen that movie?
I've just never seen it.
Yeah. I've not seen a ton of movies.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. All right. So anyways, so all the Scots in Alexander's line just started dying straight away. So Alexander lost three sons back to back to back and then died himself.
Oh, shit.
The only one, and this was from 1281 to 1284. So in the course of 3 years. Three sons, then him.
Dang, his whole line.
His whole line just wiped out. And it wasn't like killed in battle or anything.
Like, they just died.
Illnesses.
Oh, shit.
I mean, he probably died from a fucking broken heart after his three sons passed away. God. So the only one left for the throne was a three-year-old granddaughter named Margaret. There was a treaty signed called the Treaty of Berghem. And that was signed that Margaret would marry Edward's then six-year-old son, Edward II.
Okay.
And everybody was agreed upon on that. Like, okay, this is how we're going to bring those two together. They have nobody to rule them. Of course, England's going to eventually take over Scotland. You know, like, we all know that because they don't have a solid leader.
Yeah.
But let's at least harmonize. Margaret's going to be, you know, she's seven now. Wait, no, she was three at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And Edward II was six. And they were like, they'll get married.
Yeah.
When they grow up, they'll get married. And then the two can figure it out from there or whatever.
Yeah, go from that point.
But at the age of seven, when Margaret was seven, so 4 years later, after the treaty was signed, Margaret was sailing back from Norway and died from illness at sea.
Oh, shit.
So, Scotland had nothing left. Like, no That's rulers it. Left. That's it. Their line is dead in Scotland.
Dead, yeah.
All right. So, this left Scotland, like, for real out without a leader. And, like, and then basically, here we go with Braveheart.
Yeah.
This is where Braveheart starts.
This is where Braveheart starts. All right. Okay, cool.
So, Hammer of the Scots, women, children, priests, all slaughtered. It was gruesome. It was gross what he did. Nobody was safe. They didn't just have all their rulers die at once. The people of Scotland had everything taken away from them with leadership, and then everything taken away from them, including their lives, then after.
Yeah.
So England stormed into Scotland and just started raping, pillaging, burning, taking, whatever they wanted to do.
Jesus.
So every, like, remember, like, the scene in Braveheart where they just burn that fucking little tiny, that hamlet down?
Yeah.
Like, that little township hamlet, whatever you want to call it. It's that all the time, every day in Scotland.
All over, yeah.
All over Scotland. There was one specific, particular story during the takeover of Scotland, and it said that a larger town of 7,500 innocent souls were slaughtered, and the blood of that slaughter ran their mills for 2 days.
What the fuck?
So, like, it was a literal Moulin Rouge.
What the fuck?
So the
it was just a blood mill.
The blood from those bodies ran their mills for 2 consecutive days after the slaughter.
Holy shit.
Yeah. That's fucking heavy, right?
That's fucking insane.
Moulin Rouge, baby. Literally. The red pinwheel.
Is that what that means?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Or what are those things on the golf course is called? The pinwheel?
Well, windmill.
Windmill. Yeah. Yeah, it's a red windmill.
Oh,
yeah, yeah. Shit. And that was basically it. Because windmills are powered by water. So.
Well, no, not they're powered by wind. Windmill.
But isn't there something with water below them, though?
Yeah, that's a water mill, but...
Well, okay.
Yeah. But I get what you're saying. I get the...
Oh, you're right. I'm stupid. Yeah. I just got that.
Yeah, windmill. Yeah. Like, blood wind.
Take one sip of seltzer and it's all over.
You're done.
Yeah.
But no, like, it doesn't matter how you say it. I don't care what kind of fucking mill it is. That is fucking absurd.
Yeah, that's crazy. So, lastly, end of my part right here. So, Edward literally almost bankrupted England with all this fucking and fighting. He raised taxes like a son of a bitch and went after the wealthy Jewish population of England.
The edict.
He said... Yes, we're getting there, buddy. He said the English Jewish people were owned by him.
Oh, that's
he
rude.
Owned those people.
Just the Jewish
just people. Just the Jewish people. The Jewish people.
Yeah.
Okay. All their money and assets were bled dry. And as soon as they ran out of money and capital, he kicked them out of the country using the Edict of Expulsion in 1290. So he kicked them out after bleeding them dry of all their money and resources.
Yeah.
Said he owned them the whole time and then booted them.
Oh, because they were property, so he got rid of his property.
It's so fucked up.
It's beyond fucked up. Like
talk about, like, just milking your cow until it's got nothing left, you know?
It's and weird. It's weird to think, like, if you told me 1,200 Britain, I wouldn't even consider that there were Jewish people there.
Right.
I wouldn't put those together. Like, Jewish people in the year 1,200 mm-hmm. England... I wouldn't even think that. Like, obviously, like, I know there's Jewish people all over the world. But, like, in the year 1200, I just don't think that they were Britain. My stupid American brain can't fucking put that together.
Yeah.
So the fact that there's enough of them for him to kick out
right.
is fucking weird
or
to me.
Enough of them also to fund his stupid ideas.
Yeah.
And then we all know Edward was a very devout Christian.
Yeah.
Like, there must have been something in that scripture that made it okay to do that. Speaking in Old Testament terms.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It's like, the more I think about it, the worse it gets.
Oh, it's awful. You don't even have to think about it. It's like you just kicked an entire people out. No,
but like at the end of the first segment, we were like rationalizing the badness in people based on the time.
The variety of time,
But I mean, if we're going to compare this guy to anybody, it's early Hitler now.
Yeah. Yeah, now he's just kicking out Jews.
Now he's just early Hitler.
Yeah, it gets really bad. Well, you know what even makes it worse is that the person who fucking overturned the Edict
mm-hmm.
of Expulsion was someone we've already fucking covered, which was fucking Oliver Cromwell.
Right.
So another piece of shit somehow it was like, yeah, like, let the Jewish back in.
Right.
Which doesn't even make me fucking feel good about it, because we already covered what a piece of shit that guy was.
Right.
And what he did to the Irish.
So it's like, it's trading racism for another racism. It's like, now, the Jewish people are fine, but the Irish, they gotta
off their own island.
Right?
Like,
potatoes? What?
Like, potatoes?
Some other epithet.
Yeah.
To rationalize that shitty behavior.
It doesn't even feel good that a bigger piece of shit was the one who fixed it.
Piece of shit.
Yeah.
It's shit. It's like a shit snowball. It's eventually going to roll into a big snowball, and eventually it's going to take on a town.
Yeah.
You know, it's just going to keep, like, snowball effect going, and just... you're trading one awful thing for an awful thing.
Yeah.
So, It's just, it's your wavelength is always shit.
Yeah.
Across east, like east to west. It's shit east to west, north to south.
Jesus. Ugh, all right. Well, fuck, man. I mean, Merry Christmas.
Oh, God, I forgot to say holiday stuff.
There isn't any.
Yeah. Like, oh, Llewellyn's name was actually Rudolph. Sorry about
that. Yeah, Rudolph Ellen. Rudolph, yeah. All right. Well, I think at this point we're going to pass it off to Mark.
Mark, yeah.
Also, hey, Mark, personal request. Correct me if I'm wrong about the whole Edward II thing. I'm pretty sure it was Edward II that I mentioned with, like, him being gay and all that. I'm, like, starting to think, I guess it was, like, Edward III or something, and I really hope it wasn't. But fact check me on that. And then other than that, take it away.
Yeah. Mark's got a real, real special part.
Oh, yeah, he's got a surprise.
He's got a very, very delicious surprise. So, yeah. So stay tuned, and we'll catch you guys next week.
Yeah, we're going to leave the whole third part to Mark. This is all him.
Get after it, buddy.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for joining us on another episode of Justice Time Machine. We appreciate it very much so. I want to take this opportunity to also appreciate another person. I hope that line of logic followed. His name is Johnny Niddle, and he is the person responsible for doing all of our music. He did our theme song, he does all the transitions, and we couldn't be happier with his work. We think it's like absolutely wonderful. It's one of the greatest things that's happened to our podcast since it started. It's actually sounding much more professional and just all around better. So you should absolutely give him your business. Go to johnnyrk.com. That's Johnny RK, JohnnyRK.com. Or you can find him on all social media at Johnny RK. Go to Johnny Niddle. Give him your money. He deserves every penny. Thank you, Johnny. And we'll see you next time.
I'm not sure how many of you this particular life experience will resonate with, so in what could be considered a vain effort, I will be broad with my initial statement in order to try and cast a wider net. On our respective journeys through life, it's possible that you discover something about yourself that you just don't quite know how to feel about. Maybe you've discovered that all of those piano lessons were a waste of time because your sausage fingers will never make beautiful music. Or perhaps you've discovered that you actually have a food intolerance and now your Wednesday night pizza order needs to be gluten-free. For me, I recently discovered through the diligent ancestry work of a relative that I am in fact a descendant of King Edward I. It's true. Having recently connected with a man by the name of Ken Sanders in Canada, big love to Ken, via a DNA match on MyHeritage.com, my great uncle was able to piece together some missing links via the marriage of two ancestors in the early 18th century, Martha Farrant and Henry Perriam. The lineage hits King Edward I by way of his eighth and youngest daughter, Elizabeth of Rhuddlan, born at the Welsh castle of the same name, who married Humphrey de Bohun and had a daughter called Eleanor, and, well, it just keeps going from there. Now, don't get me wrong. It's an exhilarating feeling as a history nerd to discover that you are able to trace your family history back to a legitimate King of England. However, my goddaughter is Scottish, and my father's side of the family are Welsh, so Edward I feels a little ironic. I don't know. Write another song about it, Alanis. Okay, so what do you do when you discover you're related to a king? Well, if you have a history podcast, you call your co-hosts and immediately start bragging. Afterwards, you begin to excessively research a man that you knew little to nothing about after 31 years of life, and then convince said co-hosts to do an episode on him. Which, funnily enough, was right around the time that a feeling of uncertainty began to sink in. A few things that you probably don't know about me, because it would be a little creepy if you did. I was born with red hair, and in a lot of portraits drawn of Edward I, he also apparently had red hair. In fact, being a bit of a ginge eventually became known as having Tudor red hair, due to the copper curls of both Henry VIII and Elizabeth I. Henry VIII also being a direct descendant of Edward I. I'm exactly 6 foot tall. My father is closer to 6 foot four, and Edward earned his nickname of Longshanks due to his tall stature. Another commonality that caught my attention while researching, I was born in Bristol, England, hence my joke in last week's episode that if I were to take my hometown's name and use it as Ayatollah Khomeini did, I would be Mark Bristoli. Well, Bristol Castle, which was demolished by the order of Oliver Cromwell in 1665 and additional remains destroyed by Second World War bombing, was a favoured stronghold of Edward's. In a historical text published by the University of Bristol, it is said under Edward I, the town was increasingly subordinated to royal interests, with the result that its mercantile and maritime resources, no less than the castle's military power, were of continuing value to the king during his wars and settlement in Wales. One of Edward's other nicknames was Edward Justinian, due to his love of justice, and here I am on a podcast called Justice Time Machine. The pieces fit together, and it all becomes a little scary the longer you look at it. Except sometimes the mirror that you imagine is more of a mirage. Yes, we're both tall, handsome, and strong, with a penchant for family, loyalty, and efficiency. It's just, I'm not anti-Semitic, and I have Celtic blood running through my veins. An article on historynet.com claims, a case can be made that Edward I was the greatest English king of the Middle Ages. As a ruler, he was a man blessed with a strong sense of duty. Although he was no democrat, he believed the king should promote the general welfare and place himself above class or faction, a revolutionary concept in the 13th century. There is plenty of evidence to suggest that this is the case. King Edward I was one of the most important medieval kings of my homeland. However, at what cost? Must a king be successful and remain bloodthirsty in doing so? Power-hungry? Ferocious? Tenacious? Arguably, in my opinion, Edward's biggest downfall was that he never knew when to stop. Despite his accolades as a battle-ready and intelligent warrior king, Edward bankrupted England in the process. He took it too far, which I perceive as a lack of foresight, a quality necessary in all great rulers. For my summary, and to help tie a white and red St. George's bow on this episode, I'm going to refer to a book published in 2016 by an author called Mark Morris, who coincidentally also spells his name with a C instead of a K like me. The book is called A Great and Terrible King, Edward I and the Forging of Britain. As a specialist historian regarding the Middle Ages, Mark argues that our modern sensibilities cloud our judgments of Edward I, which is a remarkably similar train of thought to the one that Cody was on this week. When you look at the bigger picture, Henry III was an inept and feeble king that left Edward a hell of a mess to clean up, and he reigned during one of the most violent and unruly periods of history. They say you can't pick family, but does that mean you're destined to be like them? Well, Edward II, who was eventually deposed in 1327 after his own wife Isabella mounted an attack on him, bringing an end to his disastrous 20-year rule, had far more in common with his grandfather than his ruthless and powerful father. In turn, his son, Edward III, had far more in common with his grandfather. History and ancestry, both are timelines, branches, lifespans. They are splinters and shadows, fragments of a whole. Those who do not learn history are doomed to repeat it, George Santayre once warned us. Well, I'd argue that it's just as important to learn from the mistakes of our kin, too. Until next time, take care of one another and be safe.